Grace, mercy, and peace are yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of our Lord Jesus Christ. My brothers and sisters in Christ, as we consider words from the gospel lesson, over the years I have heard people suggest to me ways in which we could shorten our worship services, not make them last quite so long. You can guess what some of those suggestions were. You know, Pastor, if we shorten the sermon just a little bit, right? Or some have suggested what we've been doing since our COVID restrictions. We're shortening the hymns a little bit. You know, maybe sing two or three stanzas rather than five, six, seven, or beyond. I've also heard people suggest this. You know, Pastor, we could shorten the service if we cut out things like the Apostles' Creed and the Nicene Creed. It might seem like a good suggestion, but I do beg to differ with that line of thinking. And I can explain why with this little story. Years back in my mission church in Indiana, I had a young woman who was a member of my church. She had told me about how it happened that she and her husband began to get closer and really get serious about their relationship. She had said, you know, I really would like to take this relationship to the next level, but I need to know what you believe about God. And right there, right on a dime, he told her exactly what he believed. And he recited verbatim the Nicene Creed. And she was blown away. She just couldn't believe how clearly and how well formulated his beliefs were. Can you guess how that young man was able, at the drop of a hat, to be able to recite the Nicene Creed? Well, he recites it every other Sunday, as we customarily do in our liturgy. I think that that speaks very well for the use of creeds in our regular public worship. But creeds are not the only way that we get to confess our faith. And confessing our faith is not just merely about memorizing some words on a page. Confessing our faith involves courage, and Jesus explains in the gospel lesson why that's so necessary. Jesus warned his disciples that the Christian church throughout time would be plagued by the menace of persecution. People who openly oppose what we believe. And that's the reason why we want to remind ourselves today that in our worship, we Christians confess our faith. It's a normal part of our worship. Now, digging into the words that we heard from our gospel lesson, it's really kind of helpful to know a little bit of the background. Jesus' ministry, we generally summarize into three phases. The first year of his public ministry, we like to call his year of introduction. People were getting a first glance and a first hearing of Jesus. By the second year, Jesus' popularity began to really swell. During that year of popularity, Jesus would have large crowds gathering around him. But by the third year then, he reaches a year of opposition. That's where he sees so much confrontation. Now let me ask you this. If you had your choice about which year you wanted to follow Jesus, which one would you pick? Kind of a no-brainer, right? I'll pick year two, the year of popularity. The disciples were just coming to the end of that year of popularity as Jesus was going to send them out. Call it a little vicar year or an apprenticeship. And as he sends them out into Galilee, he wants them to be prepared that things are going to begin to change. And they're going to begin to see opposition. It's going to become a regular thing for them. And that's the reason why Jesus is speaking the words that he spoke and we read earlier. This ministry is not going to be some glorious walk of easy progress. So Jesus has to warn them. And his words are like, think of a blacksmith trying to hammer out a precision sword. With hammer blows, Jesus tries to shape and temper the viewpoint of his disciples. The first hammer blow, I send you out as sheep among wolves. There are going to be traps wherever you go as a Christian. Hammer blow number two, do not think that I came to bring peace on earth, but division. You're going to see hostility at times. Hammer blow number three. A student is not above his master. What is the template for your ministry and service to God? It's Jesus' ministry. It's going to look just like his. And that's why Jesus warned them. There are going to be one of two reactions every time you go out and speak and confess your faith. One of two. There's either going to be repentance or impenitence. There's going to be faith or unbelief. There's going to be acceptance or rejection. There's going to be believing or there's going to be blasphemy. You are going to find people who will hear the words that you speak and a quiet hope and confidence and faith in God will begin to appear in their hearts. And also, when you speak the word, there will also be antagonistic rejection by a hostile majority. This is what happened to Jesus. And this is what happens to Jesus' disciples. And what did happen to Jesus? They called him Beelzebub, the devil. What did they think of what Jesus was teaching? They considered it to be of the devil. As people do today. Clear, simple, direct truth from the Word of God is proclaimed by people to be of the devil. It is of the devil to stand for heterosexuality as God's exclusive gift and as His exclusive will for human couples. It is of the devil that churches should want to have clear teaching about baptism and the Lord's Supper because all of that divides people and it makes it inconvenient. It is considered today to be of the devil to care about the lives of unborn children. Now, we hear that and we say, that's blasphemy. But blasphemy happens every day. Because rather than listen to the clear teachings and confessions of God's Word, people would rather hear deception and lies. In just a little bit, we're going to recite that Nicene Creed. And we need to remember why that creed came about. At the time of the Council of Nicaea in 325, there were people who were calling the sound teaching of the person of Jesus Christ into question. They were calling it of the devil to declare that Jesus is true God from true God, begotten of the Father from eternity. Not made, not created. How could people blaspheme like that way back then? Why would they ever want to say things against that? Because the words that we speak have the ring of truth to it. Deep down, people know it. And that's why they have to oppose it as firmly as they do. Don't you see? They're acting like losers. Like people who are bound to lose. You know how those people will get? They'll get drastic. They'll get passionate in the hopes of trying to make a different reality happen. All of our adversaries in truth act like perpetual losers. How can you be certain they're going to lose and that we're going to win? Listen to the words of Jesus. So don't be afraid of them. There's nothing concealed that will not be disclosed or hidden that will not be made known. What I tell you in the dark, speak in the daylight. What's whispered in your ear, proclaim from the rooftops. Our instincts might tell us, just keep this gospel message underground. Be quiet about your faith. But that's exactly what Christ's enemies want us to do. The gospel tells us, though, that the word of the Lord is going to see daylight. People are going to hear it. Broadcast it. Don't be afraid. Broadcast it from rooftops and from all over the place. Stages, podiums, lecterns, at parties and at backyard barbecues. Don't be afraid to tell people about the hope that you have in Jesus Christ. Do it because you know that your opposition cannot win. And how do you know that it cannot win? Because of the way that Jesus speaks. Now Jesus knew that his disciples, as they encounter opposition, would begin to kind of have what I call the poor me syndrome. Woe is us being picked on. Why are we being victims, being harassed? By nature, the disciples, when they were confronted with that, would begin to think things like God has forgotten all about us. God is up in heaven, enjoying a full banquet, being serenaded by 1,000 angels. He doesn't know about us and he doesn't think about us. That's the natural way for people who are worried to think. And Jesus anticipates this, and that's the reason why he commands them to not be afraid, except the words that he used, the Greek words, me phobetheta, are a lot more powerful than that. What Jesus was telling his disciples to us is don't even begin to be afraid. When you start hearing about opposition, when people reject you, don't even begin to let yourself be seized up in fear. Here's the reason why you can have that kind of confidence. Look at the meaningless sparrows out there, those things that land on our feeders and we don't even notice them half the time. God cares for each and every one of them. So don't be afraid. You're worth more than many sparrows. Jesus says, think about the hair on your head. I'm told that each day, each human being loses about 100 hairs. That fact tells me two things. Number one, I better remember to clean out the hair trap in my shower, you know. But if I'm losing 100 hairs on my head every day, and every one of them is counted by God, He knows every detail about my life. He's not far away up in heaven. He's right beside my side. And He has promised to take care of me and all believers. He has sworn to protect us. We have no reason to fear any opposition, any persecution. But ultimately, here is the reason why we want to have constant courage and no fear. We have to look at things through the lenses of the last day, Judgment Day. What is going to happen on Judgment Day? Jesus Christ, the Son of Man, will be exalted. Isaiah tells us in chapter 52, whoever, my servant will be raised and lifted up and highly exalted. And what is that exalted one going to say? Whoever acknowledges me before men, I will also acknowledge him before my Father in heaven. But whoever disowns me before men, I will disown him before my Father in heaven. Don't please misunderstand Jesus' words. He is not saying that you are going to go to heaven only because of the good witness that you've been able to give in this earth. You and I could give 1,000 witnesses, 1,000 confessions of faith. It is not going to negate the effects of our sin on Judgment Day. No. The only thing that can cancel out our sin is the perfect life of Jesus Christ and the sacrificial death of our Lord Jesus. That alone atones for our sin. That alone cancels out all of our sin and all of our guilt. It's only because of God's grace alone, through faith alone, that our sins are canceled out and we can stand before God on Judgment Day. God has given us that gift, the gift of faith and trust in the Savior. But faith is also invisible, and God wants us to give open evidence of our faith, and therefore the need to continue to confess Jesus Christ and all of His teachings. Jesus says, whoever disowns me before men, I will disown him before my Father in heaven. He's saying that a lack of confession is oftentimes evidence of a lack of faith. Be eager to confess your faith. Rely on Jesus Christ, as we spoke about in the psalm. Rely on your God. Anytime you begin to feel a little bit scared, a little bit hesitant, don't be ashamed of Jesus Christ. Confess Him in every area of your life, not just in the reciting creeds. I don't know if you had an opportunity to hear President Trump's speech yesterday right at the base of Mount Rushmore. People have different opinions about the speech, but one thing that I think that he did do very well, as he pointed to the faces of the four presidents at Mount Rushmore, he took time to explain the story of their lives, of explaining why the things that they had done in their life and the virtues that they stood for, all of that was behind the monument itself. And that's the reason why a monument exists there. In the same way, I want to believe that we should be using our creeds, the Nicene, the Apostles' Creed, the Athanasian Creed, and even the creed that's often just spelled out in any of the common hymns that we use. It's what's behind them. The teaching of who God is, of who we are as sinners, of what God has done in Jesus Christ and how unique He is, and how God, through the Holy Spirit, brings faith to our hearts. Those creeds give testimony, and they call us to the high calling of being witnesses for Christ. Yeah, use those creeds, but what's behind them is the faith and the courage to speak boldly and clearly in Jesus' name. May God always give us that boldness. And now it's needed more than ever. Amen.